remember an old, big, sometimes archaic looking book. It is a book that will actually tell you how to spell words. It will define them for you, tell you what they mean. It'll give you tenses. It'll give you synonyms and antonyms. It'll give you word origins. It'll give you plurals. Do any of you have one of these? All right, put your hands down. Here's the next question. Do any of you use one? Oh, there's a few hands. How many of you instead Google it? Yeah. We have been talking a lot about disciples and discipleship and making disciples. It's in our mission statement. Emmanuel will make and equip disciples who know, love, and serve God from here to the ends of the earth. It's in our vision statement. Emmanuel will be a community of devoted disciples who pray, care, and worship. And here's a question for us to consider. How do we know if we're actually making disciples? Well, let's start with the definition of a disciple. Now, if we're going to know how to make disciples or know if we're making disciples, then we need to know how to define a disciple. Well, Google, I didn't bother to find my dictionary, Google says, it is a personal, and I was astounded that this was the definition, a personal follower of Jesus during his life, especially one of the 12 apostles. The synonyms that they give are apostle and follower. They're getting really close. They're partly correct. That a disciple is one was those 12 we find in the New Testament in the days of Jesus. They just kind of missed out on the contemporary definition of it. The good thing is the Bible defines it for us. Actually, Jesus gives us the definition. So here the definition of a disciple. It's from Matthew 4:19. I want to ask you to listen. Don't worry about finding it. I'll say it before you could find it. Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Follow me, Jesus commands. A disciple is one who is following Jesus. It's a head level change. More about that in a few moments. This demands, though, to follow Jesus, the yielding of our lives to Jesus so that we humble ourselves before Him so that we can follow Him. It begins in a relationship with Jesus. To enter that relationship with Jesus, we have to admit to Jesus that we're a sinner, that we have failed, we have come short of the glory of God, as the Scriptures tell us. And to acknowledge that Jesus is not a sinner, in fact, He was paid the penalty for our sin. And because He did that and died on our behalf, then He's paid the price to purchase our redemption, and so that we can be His followers, so that we can trust in Him. But it's a choice we have to make. We have to choose to accept Jesus. We've got to choose that I'm going to give my life to Jesus. We have to make a choice that I'm going to follow Jesus. And we do that, we confess that we're a sinner, that we have failed Jesus, and that we need Him to forgive us of our sin and to save us. So we yield ourselves to Him, admitting that we're lost without Him. We can't save ourselves. We can't accomplish that. We can't redeem ourselves. We need Jesus, and we give our lives to Him. So when we have done that, we're in a position to follow Him and His command. Follow me. It is literally, the words literally say, come after me. Come after me. He invites us to come. Jesus is going somewhere. Jesus is on a journey, and He invites us to come after Him, to come along with Him. But it's always after Him. The word literally is after or behind. We are not beside Him, and we are certainly not ahead of Him. We are behind Him. We need to be behind him because we need to see where he is going, and that's the way that we can follow him. When my family finds ourselves in a crowd of people and we're trying to navigate through the crowd and the crowd is too dense for us to walk abreast and we've got to follow, my instinct as a husband, as a dad, is to begin to put everyone in my family in front of me and to move forward. And the reason is that way I can see them. I know they're there. I know they're not getting pulled behind me in the crowd as the crowd may be pressing in, and so I'm losing any of them somewhere. That's just my instinct. The problem with that is they complain to me, is that, "Dad, we don't know where we're going. Honey, I don't know where you're going." Besides that, I'll walk a little more briskly and strongly than they will. And so their choice is to be behind me so I can lead the way and they can see where I'm going. Jesus has invited us to come after him, because we need to look to Jesus to see where Jesus is going. Jesus calls us to this. And we can see where he's leading us. In Matthew 10, verses 24 and 25, it says, "A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a slave above his master. It is enough for the disciple that he become like his teacher and the slave like a master." We're to become like him. We're not going to be above him. We're not going to be beyond him. We are to be like him. Jesus is our good shepherd, he teaches us. He says, "I am the good shepherd," and we are his sheep. If the sheep do not follow the shepherd, they get lost. We have to follow. The shepherd always is in front leading the sheep, and the sheep follow behind. And you need to know something about this call to follow Jesus. And the response of Peter and Andrew in Matthew's Gospel in the fourth chapter, it's in verse 20, illustrates the nature of this call. He calls to them, and at once, it says, they respond to him. At once. Not later. Not delayed. At once. Because a call from Jesus to be his disciple, to be a follower after Jesus, it requires a total reordering of our priorities in life. It demands an unreserved commitment to Jesus that we're his. We belong to him. And it's at any age level, it's once you give your life to Jesus that from that point forward, our life is to be ordered by Jesus. And because of that, we're to act differently. We're to talk differently. We're even to think differently than those without Jesus. It's true if we're teenagers. Teenagers? It's true for each of you. It's true for you to be able to live that life that is distinctive. It was interesting this Friday and Saturday we had the pastor's conference for the convention and we host it here. And by the way, they always say thank you, so thanks, church, for doing that. We host them here. And our speaker for it was talking about even the decline we have experienced in Baptist churches, even among teenagers coming to know the Lord as their Savior, and the decline of baptisms among teenagers, which used to be one of our biggest categories. They did some study to find out why is this happening. So listen carefully. All of you teenagers, listen. Here's the response they get. The lost kids said, "Well, the kids that go to church sound and act too much like us to see anything different in their lives." It's probably what their parents would say about the adults. Wow. How well are we following Jesus if they look at us and they don't see anything different from us who say we follow Jesus and we go to church? The result is fewer and fewer people coming to know Jesus. But Jesus, hear this though. Jesus calls us, follow me. Follow me. So, I've just said that. It's kind of a convicting word. It's convicting to me as I think about it. But hear what Jesus says after that. Here's the word of hope for all of us. Jesus says, I will make you. A disciple is one who is being changed by Jesus. It's a heart level change. A disciple is one who is being changed by Jesus. We're not fully there. We'll never get there fully this side of heaven. But it's one who is being changed at a heart level change. Now let me say something about that. I said head level change a while ago, and now a heart level change. When you give your life to Jesus and you begin a relationship with Him, Jesus changes your heart. Yes, that's what happens from the very beginning. But at the first, you're choosing it. You're making a conscious choice to say, I'm going to choose Jesus. And I give my life to Jesus and I ask Jesus to save me. Yes, and Jesus changes our heart. But then, Jesus really begins the work of transforming our lives, of changing us fully and completely from the inside out. From deep in our heart outward. From deep down in our soul and our spirit, and it works its way out through our mind and how we think, through our eyes and how we look and what we choose to look at and what we choose not to look at, to our ears about how we hear and our ability to hear it, to our mouth and what we say and how we say it and what we choose to not say and what we choose to say, to our hands and how we work and the things that we do, to our feet and where we go. And do we walk in His path for His name's sake? Our will, our spirit, our personality, He changes all of that from the inside out and transforms us. But you make that choice and it's a head level change. You're choosing it, yes, and Jesus saves you and Jesus begins that process of changing your heart. But when He's making you into a disciple, it's a heart level change. He's transforming your life and He's transforming my life. Jesus said in Matthew 15:17, do you not understand that everything that goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is eliminated, but the things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and those defile the man. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, slanders. Jesus wants to change your heart. Therefore, Jesus says, I will make you. I will make you. It's the work of Jesus. It's real. It's actual. It's ongoing. It's now. It's present. Jesus has done work in the past. Jesus is going to do work in the future. But when He says, I will make you, He's talking about today. I'm going to be making you into a disciple. Today, I'm going to be doing this work of transforming your life. And Jesus calls to you, and Jesus chooses you, and Jesus wants you. But Jesus needs to change me so that I'm useful to His kingdom work. And I've got to choose to let Him do that. He's got to take me from being spiritually immature to being a child, to being a young adult, to being a spiritual parent so that I am usable. It's the work of Jesus. We have to agree to let Jesus do that. We've got to let Jesus do that work in our lives. Just like Peter and Andrew who dropped their nets and followed Jesus, we've got to follow Jesus. And Jesus is going to give you knowledge. And we got to know stuff. All of us need knowledge. Spiritual infants need knowledge, and we've got to know stuff and learn and grow and have the foundation for the growth. And of course, Jesus is going to use the Bible to do that. He'll use the Bible all along the way. But Jesus also has to connect us to the Father and to the church. And He uses the Father, our relationship with the Father, He uses our relationship with the church and in small groups and study to grow us as spiritual children, to help us learn and grow and develop. Well, when we're in that stage, when we're selfish and we're self-absorbed and we think more about us than we do other people, He's working in us to change us and to put His purpose into our lives. He's showing us that He has something better for us, broader for us. And then Jesus begins to train us to minister so that as we've grown through being children into being young adults spiritually, to being spiritual young adults, and Jesus is making us into that place that our focus is shifting from ourselves to the Lord and to the Lord's things and to what God wants. And He's making that change in us. We become concerned about others and we're concerned about their spiritual well-being and we're concerned about what's happening in their lives so that we can work with them. We want our Sunday school class to grow and we want our church to grow. We want there to be changed lives. People transformed by Jesus. And then Jesus grows us into being spiritual parents who can disciple others. And He equips us to work with the lost to be saved and then to help that spiritual infant grow into being a child and growing into being a young adult and then to being a spiritual parent as well. Jesus commits to make us fishermen. Jesus is not going to just give us information, even though we need information. Jesus commits to make us something new, to change our lives. The call to follow Jesus is a call to be His apprentice as well. Yeah, we're going to follow Him. We've got to be behind Him. We've got to be after Him so that we know where He's going. But it's also a call to be an apprentice. The Message translation says this verse this way. Matthew 4:19, it says it like this. I'll show you how to catch men and women instead of perch and bass. Now, I'll show you how, He says. You see, Jesus is saying, follow me, but I'm going to show you how. It's not just to follow me and then He takes off and we're running to catch up. No, I'm going to show you how. I'm going to show you what to do so that you know how to do these things. How does Jesus do this? How does Jesus change us? Well, Richard Foster, who's one of the great spiritual writers of our day, says this: the purpose of the spiritual disciplines is the total transformation of the person. And Jesus uses spiritual disciplines to totally transform our lives. Spiritual disciplines like Bible reading and prayer and silence and solitude and simplicity and worship, serving others, fasting, study, submission, celebration, confession. Jesus uses those things to transform our lives, to make us different. Jesus uses a process of disciple making that we find with His own disciples. We see Jesus mature the disciples from being infants, those early followers of Jesus, being infants in their faith to being the ones to whom He gives the charge to make disciples. They go from that initial call of, come, follow after me, and I will make you into fishers of men, to being the ones who says, go into all the world and make disciples. It's the same guys. There is a huge change from Matthew 4 to Matthew 28. That's what Jesus wants to do with our lives. Jesus wants to change us and transform us so that we are the ones that He says, hey, you do this. Jesus said to them and He says to us, I will make you. But you know, we have to yield our lives to Him to let Him do that. He says, I will make you fishers of men. A disciple is one who is committed to the mission of Jesus. A disciple is one who is committed to the mission of Jesus. It's a hands-level change. Jesus has equipped us to actively participate in the disciple-making process. Jesus is giving us an analogy when He speaks to the fishermen Peter and Andrew and says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Well, He was addressing them in a way that they would get. But it's interesting. These guys are professional fishermen. Next time you're reading through the Gospels, notice after they meet Jesus, every time they catch fish, they need Jesus' help to catch fish. That's free. But Jesus calls us to make disciples. It's a call to be equipped by Him. That Jesus will make you and Jesus will make me into fishers of men. That Jesus will equip us and help us be ready to help spiritually dead people come to a place of life in Jesus and a place of faith in Jesus and give their lives to Him. That we will learn how to share our lives with spiritual infants so that they get the knowledge base that they need as infants as they're learning and developing and growing. That He will show us how to connect spiritual children with God and with the church so that they see God's purpose for their lives and God's purpose for the life of the church and how those intersect. Jesus will equip us to train spiritual young adults so that they are equipped for ministry and that they are engaging in ministry. Jesus will show us how to release the spiritual parent to make new disciples and grow them in the Lord. Jesus is always doing that now. Jesus is making us into disciples now. It's what Jesus is doing. You look at Jesus' disciple-making of the disciples, just as you scan through the Gospel of Matthew, let me tell you something about what you encounter. In Matthew 4, we encounter Jesus calling these first disciples, come after me and I will make you fishers of men. Follow me and I will make you into disciple-makers, is what Jesus is really saying. And then Jesus taught them, in chapters 5 to 7, the character of a disciple in the Sermon on the Mount. What's a disciple to look like? What are we to be like? Well, Jesus lays it out very well for us in the Sermon on the Mount, those chapters 5, 6, and 7. And as the disciples followed Jesus, they watched Jesus. They were His apprentice. They watched Him interact with people and care for people and minister to people and cast out demons and make sick people well and heal people. And then Jesus gave them instructions for service and He sent them out to practice ministry and brought them back in to talk about what ministry experience was like. And then there's more teaching and more lessons but now their understanding is growing. And then Jesus kind of does something different. He feeds 5,000 people, and then if that were not enough, He turns around and He feeds 4,000 people with very little food, and He involves them in that process. And He demonstrates that they can do significant ministry if they keep their eyes on Him with faith. If not, they will sink. He uncovers their growing discipleship when He asks, well, who do you say that I am? And Peter declares, you are the Messiah. And they continue to follow Jesus and they see Him and they hear Him and they watch Him and they learn. And then they go through some difficult times because Jesus is arrested and Jesus is beaten and Jesus is crucified and Jesus is dead and Jesus is buried. And then comes Easter Sunday morning and Jesus is alive. Wow, what's going on here? And then Jesus appears to the disciples and then Jesus gives them the mission under which we operate our lives to make disciples. Jesus' call to us is to follow Him and He will make us disciples who make disciples. The call from Jesus is to be a follower. A follower who will make disciples. You need to know this though. Listen. Almost done. The call from Jesus is intrusive and disruptive. That's just the way it is. It's intrusive and it's disruptive. It comes right into your life and grabs you and won't let you go and you can't go back to the way it was. The disciples, those first two, they dropped their nets and they followed Jesus. That's not what professional fishermen on the Sea of Galilee would do. Just drop your nets, because if you drop your nets, they're not going to be taken care of, and the next time you're trying to catch fish, they're going to have holes in them and the fish are going to get out. Jesus calls one in the Gospels and he says, "Well, hang on, I got to bury somebody." And Jesus says, "Well, let the dead bury the dead." See, it's intrusive. It's disruptive. He calls to Matthew. Matthew gets up out of the tax collector's booth and follows Jesus. And so he left all of the money there in the booth and went on. It's intrusive and it's disruptive and it'll change your life. It'll make it difficult and different. And it's not always seemingly any longer peaceful and orderly. It's a following of Jesus, though. And you have to trust the one who's leading you, and he's trustworthy, and you can trust him to lead you. So you got to let him lead you. Jesus calls to us. That's Jesus' call to all of us. Follow me. Come after me. Come behind me and follow me. But he says this to you. I will make you into a disciple who makes disciples. I will make you into a disciple who makes disciples. Jesus calls. Do you answer?